Well, hi, welcome to Get Alive Church Services. We are so glad that you are tuning in, the remnant around the world. I'm your shepherd, Pastor Billy Crone, and it is my honor to teach you the Word of God around the world. It's such a treat, and we're so glad that you're tuning in. Why? Because we are here, what? Reaching the world for Jesus and you, the remnant, one study at a time. Again, the website, getalife.church, that's where you can send in your prayer requests. We'd love to pray with you as God's family around the world. You could do that, as you can see there. Go to the contact page, submit the prayer request there, as you can see there. Also, at the top right there, it says become a member. You can click on that, and you can become a member of getalife.church. Join the remnant around the world. Let's keep working together as God's team, making a difference for Jesus. Also, just again, a heads up, if you ever come at 10:45 a.m. Pacific time in the U.S. for services, and if there's nothing there, or you watch for a while and then it cut off, it's because they banned us or delete us. So go to the Rumble account, as you can see there, go to the Rumble account, because Lord willing, there's always going to be a broadcast going on. So just a heads up. GetAlifeMedia.com, that's where our teaching ministry is. 15 years worth of material that you can peruse and share for free, download all kinds of studies. There's all kinds of resources there, including our books and DVDs. If you want to get that, that's where you need to go to do that as well. You can do the app, search my name, Billy Crone, and you can download for free. Our app basically unlocks 15 years worth of material for free, makes it a little more convenient for you. When it says allow for notifications, say yes, because you will be instantly notified when a new study is appeared, and you'll be able to stay tuned when we send out special notifications and news we want you to stay abreast on. Also, our all-access download, that's good for a whole year if you want to scan that code. That's where you can get our latest material streaming video. And you could, you don't have to wait for the shipping or all that stuff. That's our streaming option. Again, it's good for a whole year of anything that we have, including a bunch of studies that are already there, a bunch of bells and whistles, ebooks, you name it, all kinds of stuff. So consider that all access download. If you want to get the hard copies of the books or the DVDs, again, our latest material, our documentaries, Trump and the Stargate Prophecies, that's first shot across the bow. The sequel to that, Trump and the Paradox Prophecies. Again, you can scan that code if you want to get the DVDs and the books. But again, you could go to the All Access and you could get it that way. You could also get our book and DVD set on the Book of Revelation, Chapter 1. And I'll just let the cat out of the bag. Lord willing, our next study is Revelation, Chapter 2. So I'm super excited about it, man. Lots going on there. But if you want to get chapter 1, line by line in the original Greek, 16-week study dealing with the real Jesus, the unveiling, then you can do that book or DVD. You can scan that code. But Lord willing, stay tuned. Lord willing, next week, our new study with Revelation chapter 2. But hey, the remnant, I'd love to meet you. If you happen to be in Okinawa, July 5th, I'll be there at the Mahama Church. Then heading over to Singapore, July 10th through the 12th, rockofages.org.sg, as in Singapore. Be speaking at the Rock of Ages Church there. Wonderful work of God there. Heading back to Okinawa, July 15th, I'll be at the Akata Hall. The next 2 days, I'll be speaking at the World Mission Church in Okinawa, July 16th and 17th, and finishing up at the Naharinjin Church in Okinawa on the 19th. So if you're there in the area in Okinawa, I'd love to meet you. And so come on out. And again, our Great Alaska Prophecy Cruise, August 22nd through the 29th. If you want to be a part of that, go to greatalaskaprophecycruise.com. Again, for those of you who are counting like I am, Lord willing, in 2 weeks is our next Communion Sunday. In 2 weeks, the first Sunday of each month is our Communion Sunday. So we've got 2 weeks to go. Have your elements ready as we partake as the body of Christ. And remember what Christ has done. Hey, we're going to have an offering this morning, as we always do. If you'd like to partake in that, that is greatly appreciated as we share God's truth around the world. And you can do that in a couple different ways. If you feel led, you can scan that code right there, even now, and that'll take you where you need to go. You could also mail it in there at Get a Life Ministries, P.O. Box 814, Pahrump, Nevada 89041, or you can do the texting give option, 775-299-5193. Or at any time, you can go to the websites, getalifemedia.com or getalife.church. Look for donate or give, click on that, and you can give in that fashion. But let's pray for our offering, then we'll pray for our study. Father, we love you and thank you so much for giving us, again, the greatest gift of all, the gift of eternal life through Jesus, the full forgiveness of all of our sins. You've rescued us from what we all deserve, myself included, The wages of sin is death. We deserve to die and go to hell forever. But you know, you rescued us from that. You gave us a future beyond our wildest dreams on top of that. It's amazing. And then we have the privilege to let other people know about you and the fact that they could join us in this amazing future. And we do that when we invest our time, our tongues, our talents, and our treasure in your kingdom and your purposes. So if we give today, we certainly ask that you would bless this offering, that you would be glorified in it, that we, your church here at Get a Life Church, would have whatever we need, God, to keep moving forward for you practically, to keep sharing your truth as long as we can, as far reaching as we can, to as many as we can with what time we have left. We're in the last days. And we also pray that this offering would work towards lost people being saved before it's too late. But please bless this offering even now. And God, now as we turn to your word, open our hearts, open our minds, as we finish up our spiritual warfare study today. Please, God, may we get it. What a waste of time it would be all these weeks going this deep in your word, tearing apart verse by verse your armor that you've given to us so we could stand strong and experience your victory every time. What a horrible thing it would be to just walk away and not be changed. If we need to make adjustments, then may it take place today, especially we take a look at this last piece. So God, please bear fruit with your word today. Cause us to respond appropriately so it's not a waste of time. And as always, God, if there's anybody tuning in that's not truly born again, only you know the heart, but if they're not truly saved, please save them even now. Please have mercy on them, just like you did with me 33 years ago. But God, we love you, we thank you, and we just pray and ask your blessings upon our study even now. And we ask all this in your wonderful name, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. All righty, well, hey, one last time, that's right. We're going to go back to you World War II buffs. We're going to give you another shot at it. And let's see if you can figure out which important, intense battle this one is. Watch this.
For 5 years, Nazi Germany has relentlessly expanded across Europe. We must end it. The mission begins here in Normandy, France. The objective, carve out a foothold in German-held France and push Hitler's armies back to Berlin. The airborne troops are the first boots on the ground. While the rest of the invasion prepares to land on the coast, they will jump in under cover of night and start the battle behind enemy lines. Yet miles offshore, troops are already loading up for the beach assault. Their orders? Overwhelm German coastal defenses, seize control of the area, and then fight their way 25 miles inland and capture the strategic city of St. Lo. 5 beaches have been targeted for the landings, but one in particular will become so lethal that its outcome will shape the course of World War II. Its codename, Omaha. Everything is on the line. If the invasion fails, it will be months before the Allies can launch another assault. And the German defenses are only growing stronger. For the past 6 months, the Germans have been fortifying their defenses along the Normandy coast. The defenses in Normandy start in the water, with obstacles designed to cripple Allied landing ships. To avoid them, the invasion lands at low tide. But that means soldiers now have 300 yards of open sand to cross in the face of merciless German fire. Ahead lie 150-foot bluffs, barbed wire, and worse.
We know that the cliffs, the bluffs on the sides are mined, but we have a better chance of climbing these bluffs and surrounding the Germans than running straight through German fire.
The lieutenant's the first one through. On the far side is a swamp leading up to this cliff. He starts crawling through it right away.
And this is really impressed me because here I am a private. I thought, and here's the highest ranking officer that I knew crawling through mud to check for mines.
Didn't make any of us grunts do it. Did it himself.
Every man who could walk and fire a weapon charged up the hill towards the enemy. We had three options. Stay on the beach and die.
Fight wounded or surrender the beach to the Germans. Surrender was not a word in the 29th Division Dictionary. So most of us fought wounded.
Finally, we made it to where you started to climb the bluffs.
They used tape to mark the path as they was clearing the mines for people to walk on. When they would put that tape down, you didn't step outside the tape because it wasn't clear.
11 hours after first landing, Force O has finally secured Omaha Beach. It is a major accomplishment. More men die on Omaha than any of the other Allied beaches.
Someday, I'll tell General Eisenhower just how close it was those first few hours. Omar Bradley, Commanding General, United States First Army. By nightfall, the situation had swung in our favor. We held a sliver of corpse-littered beach 5 miles long and about 1.5 miles deep. There was now no thought of giving it back.
Yeah. Well, again, how many guys ever heard of the Battle of Normandy? I would assume most of us have. And again, not to pick on those of you in Peru. If you haven't heard of it, no offense, but maybe you should get out more often or whatever. But anyway, but seriously, folks, here's the whole point. That was a very important historical battle. We talk about it, do all kinds of programs. It was very intense and very important. But with all due respect, I'm not saying this to downplay those who lost loved ones. But what if I were to tell you I know a battle that makes that battle look like child's play? And what if I were to tell you that this battle didn't occur at just one place at one time in one country? It's going on right now, today, all over the world, and it's been leaving a trail of death and destruction for centuries. Folks, one last time, we are talking about the battle or the war against God, Satan, and you and I, the Christian, stuck smack dab in the middle. The facts are this, we Christians, we don't battle here once in a while. Are you kidding me? We go to war every single day. The moment you got saved, whether you feel it, believe it or not, folks, you entered into a spiritual war against a demonic host whose sole purpose is to what? To destroy you and to try to extinguish your effectiveness for Jesus Christ. But praise God, we've been seeing God doesn't leave us hanging high and dry. He loves us. We're his children. He knows this. He knows what we're headed for. And so he gives us his armor to stand our ground, to experience his victory every single time. It's called the armor of what? God. That's the key word. It's his armor. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's his armor. He can't lose if you just do what he says to do. That's the problem, though. Many Christians, they don't know what the armor of God is. They may have heard of the term, but they don't even know what it is. And they certainly don't know how to apply it correctly. So that's why we're continuing. And today we're going to conclude our study on the armor of God. Now, we've already seen that it's designed for war. We saw it's designed for victory. And the last five times, hello, it's designed to wear. This is something that you put on. You don't stare at it. You don't look at it. You don't think about it, right? It's something that you put on. Daily put this on. Hurry up. Chop, chop. Don't delay is what the Greek says. Now, so what is it? What do we got to hurry up and chop, chop, don't delay, put on? Well, we saw it was the belt of truth, which is what? You need to be in the Bible every single day. Number two, the breastplate of righteousness. We need to make a deliberate choice to live a holy, pure life so that the enemy doesn't have a crack to get in and jab us. Then we saw the shoes of peace, the peace that we have with God, that he loves us as his children. Even if you do blow it on the battlefield, God loves you. He will never forsake you nor leave you. Then what do we got? The fourth piece is the shield of faith. We dip our faith into God's word so that when the enemy comes, we hold that up. And what's the good news? It extinguishes every single thing that the enemy throws our way. Then we saw the next one was the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. We wrap our head around the biblical truth of what? That when we're saved forevermore. And number two, we're saved for a future where one day, no more of this battle, devil or demons, it's going to be okay. It doesn't last forever. And then last time, we saw the sixth piece was the sword of the Spirit, okay? It was not a literal sword that we stab our opponents with. That's not what he's saying. It's a spiritual sword. And the good news is we didn't have to wonder what it was. It's the Bible, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's what we stab the enemy with. The context tells us that's exactly what it is, which tells us, guess what? We don't have to be slapped around. That sword, the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, is what we have for our offensive attack. It is the offensive weapon from God. All the other ones we saw are defensive in nature, but God hasn't designed it for us with his armor that we just sit there and get beat on and slap silly. He gives us an offensive weapon. Listen, not just to fight back, not just to stab the enemy back, but listen, you keep it up and the attacks will stop. But you do that specifically with the Bible and specifically with a Rhema word. Individual verses that you need to get into the Word of God. You need to know the Bible. You need to chew it, read it, study it, take to heart. Because the more you learn the Bible, the more weapons you can stab and stop the enemy's attacks. Okay? That's what the sword of the Spirit is. But we got one more to go. And this one is just as important. And here's what it is. It's the power of prayer. The seventh piece of armor, you better hurry up and get this on, man. Just as important as the rest of it. And remember, what's the context? The full armor of God, including this one, the power of prayer. But again, don't take my word for it. Let's listen to God's. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read all the way down to verse 20, starting with verse 10. And let's grab the context one last time. What is this final thing that Paul says, you better get all of this on right now, today, don't delay. Well, let's take a look. Verse 10 says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Step one, remember, stand and resist. Resist with what? The armor of God. Step two, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand, right? Stand firm then with what? Well, the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish. How many? All the flaming arrows of the evil one. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here we go. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that Paul says, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Watch this. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should, and dare I say, including the rest of us. Okay? We should not be ashamed of the gospel. But here we see, believe it or not, the seventh piece. Some people stop at the sword of the Spirit. No, keep reading the context. This is the seventh piece of supernatural military equipment that God gives us so we can stand our ground, come out on top every single time when the enemy comes at us every single day. And it was simply prayer. And to me, that's common sense because in those three verses, how many times does Paul say, pray, 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 pray? Well, for those of you listening, that was five times. Five times in three verses, Paul says, you need to pray, right? And I mean, think about the rest of the armor that Paul talked about. Did he say, grab the sword of the Spirit five times? No. Did he say, put on that helmet five times in a row? Did he say, you better get your shoes on, you better get your shoes on, you better get your shoes on, get your shoes, get your shoes? He didn't do that. But listen, he did with prayer. Super important here, folks. And the reason why is because I think we can glean more about what Paul is saying about the importance of prayer. When you really look at what is prayer, when we pray, what are we doing? We're communicating with God. Who's God? He's our heavenly commander. He's the one in charge. And that is the same thing that when it comes to the Roman soldier, he had to have constant communication with his commander, right? And that's what prayer does, folks. This is what Paul is saying. Prayer provides constant communication. Okay, with our heavenly commander. And we need that in this battle. But let's take a look at communication for the Roman soldier so we can understand what Paul is saying. Good communications are important when it comes to the efficient conduct of military operations, and so it was with the Roman military. They used a form of communication called military signaling. Okay, for a short distance message, the Roman officers overseeing a battle from an elevated position on the hillside would have a team of runners whose job it was to run at full tilt to the commander of a unit. Now, upon arrival, they would pass a message verbally or written on a wax tablet. But over long distances, these runners were not as effective means of communication. So the Romans developed a system to communicate over long distances. Sometimes the officers would use messengers on horseback to transmit orders, or at other times they would use trumpets that were easily identifiable in a battle for the soldiers to follow. Still others would use fire signals. And here they would light series of bonfires on top of hilltops from the scene of a battle, where after one fire was lit, the team at the next hill in the chain would see to it and then light theirs, and so on until the last fire was lit. They would also utilize what was called the five flags method. This was a form of communication using two sets of five flags that could be raised or lowered that were mounted on poles some 12 feet high with a rigid flag on the top. They were usually bright red for clarity, used Roman letters from the Roman alphabet to send a message on each side. The sender and receiver had a tablet with the alphabet on it and produced messages with the flags. That was short and straight to the point, okay, was the message. Instead of sending the enemies in full retreat with our legions in hot pursuit, they would send enemy retreat. And if this method failed, then they would use torches in like manner. So that's how they communicated. But notice how vital communication was, listen, during a battle. And you think about it, well, that's common sense, right? Especially staying in touch with the commanders and the generals, because what did it say there? They were not in the battle. They were at an elevated position, seeing the whole battle scene, right? They alone had a vantage point. They could see the whole battle. Therefore, they could give soldiers specific orders on what to do in order to ensure success on the battlefield. Now, here's the whole point. That's what prayer is for us. That's what Paul is saying. The word there for prayers and requests is the Greek words prosuke and desis. Prosuke means communication addressed to God. Desis is simply seeking, asking, or making a request to God. So you put it all together, and here's what Paul is saying. Just as a secular soldier needs to stay in communication with command control central to give him directions, to give him wisdom, to provide aerial support if needed, to inform him of what lies ahead. Watch this. So it is with the spiritual soldier, the Christian. We too need to stay in constant communication with our heavenly commander, Jesus Christ. Why? Because he alone has the ultimate perspective. He alone could see the whole battlefield all at once and tell us specifically what we need to do in a skirmish. And he supports us so we can have success in dealing with the daily spiritual warfare we're in. You got it? So in essence, Paul is saying this is the last piece of equipment. Prayer, watch this, is our spiritual walkie-talkie to God. And it's to be used in times of conflict. And if you don't use it, you're toast. Because you're trying to fight the battle all by yourself. Don't do that. You need to pray and communicate to God. One guy says this, the believer must keep in constant contact and communication with his heavenly commander in every season of the conflict, because it is the only way he is enabled to follow the leading of his master closely. Prayer is a wartime walkie-talkie, not a domestic intercom. It's for a mission in battle. It's for use on the front lines of war, to call in headquarters for help. And one of the reasons our prayers malfunction is that we try to treat it like a domestic intercom, to call in a butler for another pillow, when it's supposed to be a wartime walkie-talkie calling down the power of the Holy Spirit in the battle for souls. Prayer is vital in warfare because its absence is a sure means of cutting oneself off from God, and it makes us vulnerable in warfare. Listen, prayerlessness produces sterility of spiritual perception. In other words, you can't see what lies ahead. No matter how complete the armor is, no matter how much you're skilled and what may be in the science of war, no matter how courageous you may be, we may be certain that without prayer, you are going to be defeated, because God alone can give the victory. And when the Christian soldier goes forth armed for spiritual conflict, if he looks to God in prayer, you may be sure, though, of triumph. And he gives an analogy. He said, I once borrowed a car, and as a favor to the owner, I filled it with gas. It was a big Oldsmobile station wagon, and it had an ornament on the hood okay, that said diesel. It had a sticker on the rear gate that said Oldsmobile diesel and a note on the fuel gauge reading diesel fuel only. So naturally, I put diesel fuel in the tank. Well, that was a big mistake because the owner had recently converted it to gasoline. So when it broke down on Main Street, New York, I had to explain why I put diesel fuel in a vehicle with gasoline engine. I don't think I'll ever live that down. But he says this, but this is a perfect illustration for Christians. We are human beings and we have human being written all over us. Listen, but when we were converted into something else, when we got saved, we became a new being, a new creation. We're spiritual now. So listen, if you try to run your new spiritual self on the old kind of fuel, it ain't going to work. And there's a lot of Christians who haven't figured that out yet. The fuel for the Christian life, listen, is prayer. Prayer is the energy that makes it possible for the Christian warrior to wear the armor and wield the sword. You can't fight a battle in your own power, no matter how talented you might be. So if you try to fight the spiritual battle in your own strength, guess what? You will be defeated. And one guy says this, with the perpetual use of the weapon called prayer, there is no enemy born of hell that shall be able to withstand us. And that's why one guy said, listen, if you got long-standing problems, then maybe it's time you try kneeling. Okay? That's the source of prayer. And so here's the point. Wow. You would think that's common sense. That's what we're doing, man. We are kneeling. We are praying. We are in constant contact with our heavenly commander for wisdom and protection and strength because we know it would be foolish to try to fight this battle on our own strength. Are you? Yeah, you know where I'm going with this, right? This is why Paul mentions five times in three verses above all the rest of the armor that you better pray, you better pray, you better pray, you better pray, you better pray. Or you're toast. Okay? But let's be honest, folks. That's not what's going on with most Christians. We don't pray. We're lazy about it. And frankly, we're so lazy about it. If we could, we get somebody else to do it for us, like these guys. Watch this.
Hold it right there. Do you still say grace before you eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? If you answered yes, then I've got a product that's going to revolutionize the way you do food.
Pre-blessed food.
That's right, pre-blessed food. We pray for it so you don't have to. This is the 21st century, folks. We can sell anything. Around the clock, we've got thousands of employees buying brand name foods, praying over them, and then putting them back on the shelves of your local grocery store with our official sticker of approval. We've got breakfast cereal.
Pre-blessed.
Lunch meat.
Pre-blessed.
TV dinners.
Double pre-blessed.
And if you don't want a white guy praying over your food, we've got that too.
Please, Lord, bless these eggs, Father. Bless the chicken that had these eggs, Father.
Just listen to how pre-blessed food changed these people's lives.
Since I switched to pre-blessed food, ain't nothing changed.
We've always prayed religiously before eating, but we've been so busy with work and watching TV. Pre-blessed food hasn't only saved us time, it's saved our souls.
So visit your local grocery store today and look for our official sticker of approval. And the next time someone asks you to bless the food, you say, it's on been blessed.
Double pre-blessed.
Yeah. Hey, folks, come on, man. That video would be funny if what? If it weren't so true, okay? When it comes to prayer, we're just like that. If we could, we'd hire somebody else to do it, right? That's how little we think of prayer. And yet Paul, what? He said five times above all the rest of the armor, you better pray, you better pray, you better pray, you better pray, you better pray. We're lazy, right? And we wonder why we're not blessed in our dealings with spiritual warfare. We wonder why we've lost the blessed connection with our heavenly commander. You wonder why you keep losing the battle. It's because we're trying to fight it on our own. How? Because we're not praying. Prayer is showing your independence from God, right? When you don't pray, you're saying, God, I don't need you. I'm independent from you. But when you pray, you're showing your dependence upon God. A lack of prayer is showing independence from God, okay? And you're trying to fight a one-man battle when, listen, here's the sad thing. If you would just pray, you've got all of heaven at your disposal. But no, apparently that's too easy, okay? Just bust out your spiritual walkie-talkie, Paul says. You need to pray. Call him for support, okay? Otherwise, you're going to torture yourself. But what do? We don't do that. We watch TV, we're on social media, we're doing this, anything, everything but praying, okay? And Paul not only says you need to pray, but listen to this. He says you need to pray continually. Again, the key word there is how many times did he say there, not just pray, 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 five times. How many times did he use the word all, right? He says it repeatedly all the time. Watch this. Prayer is not our last resort. Prayer is our first resort. It's not a spare tire in the trunk to be used only in emergencies. It's our daily lifeline, our air supply. It's our oxygen support from God in a spiritually deflated atmosphere. It's the spiritual air that we Christian soldiers need to breathe constantly. That's why no period of life should be without prayer. Prayer to God is the all-pervasive strategy in which warfare is fought. Ephesians begins by lifting us up to the heavenlies and ends by pulling us down to our knees. We're called to pray and keep our spiritual eyes open, for the enemy may assault us at any time. And the only way we can be continually on spiritual high alert is to be continually in communication with the Spirit of God, for God alone makes us adequate in spiritual matters. We need to realize that this holy war cannot be carried out in our unholy strength, but only by God's Holy Spirit. Do not fall into the trap of thinking that you can stand against supernatural powers in your own strength. You do that, you're already defeated, okay? Or you will soon be, and if that's the way you're thinking. You will never be able to stand against your unseen foe. Prayer is simply showing your dependency upon God. And we demonstrate that we need Him and His strength by praying at all times in every way. A lack of prayer is thus showing your independence from God. It's saying that you don't need Him. You don't need His strength in the spiritual battle you're in. And yet, you wonder why you're getting chewed alive. We pray all the time because we're being attacked all the time. The battle never stops. And so we have to constantly be on alert. No soldier can afford to close his eyes to the enemy. That would be suicide. In fact, watch this. This is interesting. The prayer posture of closing the eyes, bowing the head, folding your hands, technically is not found in Scripture. Now, I'd rather have you pray, period. But listen to where I'm going with this. The Jews prayed with their eyes open towards heaven and their hands lifted up to God. Watch and pray was our Lord's repeated admonition. We are to constantly be alert to what the devil is doing. Otherwise, he'll attack us, listen, while we're praying. We are to persevere like the early, watch this, cowboys guarding a herd at night. This is crazy. Sometimes they took drastic measures to keep alert and to hold fast to their work. Watch this. They would rub tobacco juice in their eyes to keep at their vigil and to stay awake when they got tired. They did it in interest of their boss and for the safety of the cattle. And so can we not as Christians at least do the same thing in prayer for the sake of our Lord and for the benefit of others? You see, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better new organizations or better novel methods. But they need men and women who the Spirit of God can use, men and women of prayer, men and women mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men and women. He does not come on machinery, but men and women. He does not anoint plans, but men and women of prayer. And that's why it's high time that we in the church learn what Paul is saying here. Satanic wars cannot be won by human energy, but they can be won in prayer, which is why Satan trembles even when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. This is what Paul is saying. Right? And by the way, this is where he is saying we need to do this constantly, repeatedly, over and over again. Okay? He says we need to pray at all times. Let's take a look at that, right? He says, pray in the Spirit on what? All occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Always keep on praying for all the saints. He says it four times in just verse 18 alone. And you say, well, why? Because the enemy is always attacking us. Therefore, we are always in need to be in connection with the heavenly commander for wisdom, direction, and support. It is to be prayer of all kinds, public and private, oral and mental, formal and spontaneous. It is to be spiritual prayer. It's in the Spirit, not speaking in tongues. It simply means to pray in concert with the Spirit. Pray consistently with His will and nature. It is to be persevering prayer. You need to pray at all times. It is to be watchful prayer. Over and over and over again, you need to pray. In fact, the word that's used there is to be alert. It's the Greek word, agrypneo, and it means, listen, without sleep. Literally, don't sleep, right? That's why, again, the Cowboys went, I'm not recommending this, by the way, but in Tabasco, you need to alert. That's why the Jewish people, I didn't close my eyes. I'm looking up to heaven. I'm lifting my hands. I need to be alert. That's what the words use there. And that's the other problem, right? When we finally do get around to praying, what's going on here? We either do fall asleep or we basically act like our brains are asleep because we get very repetitious. We get perfunctory. We say the same thing over and over again, right? Like this guy shares. Watch this.
Some people, like when they pray, they get nervous and they say just too much. You know, you pray in a small group, like, Lord, I just want just, come to just in spirit. Just and justliness and justification. And just, we say just. And you're like, just finish the prayer. You're just not ready for this. Start stacking chairs. Come back next week and try again. My dad does this when he prays. He uses Father way too much when he prays. Father, we come to your Father in the spirit of Father. Father, you are Father. We come to your Father. Father, just, Father, Father, just, Father, Father. You don't talk to your friends like that. Ed, come over, Ed. You are Ed. Ooh, Ed. He wouldn't be your friend anymore if you did that. Like he keeps saying, Ed, my name's Joe.
Yeah, but can you imagine that in real life in a battle? Right, let's follow the analogy here. Right, can you imagine a soldier? He finally gets onto his walkie-talkie. He's in the midst of a serious battle, and he goes, "Commander, hey, Sarge." You think that the officer would say, "Hey, I heard you the first time, right? What do you want? Just say something, right?" And folks, here's the point: how much more do you think that's happening when we do that to God? I mean, praise God, at least you're praying, but you're basically going to sleep at the wheel. That's not a group net. Oh, that's not being alert. You're going through the motions. Slow down. Talk intelligently. Think of what you're saying. Mean what you say. Why? Because you're really talking to God, our heavenly commander. He's really listening. He's actually willing to help you. Can you believe that? If you would just get past his name, Father, you know, come on. I heard you the first time. How can I help you? Stop it. God will help you. In fact, the word there, be alert, a group no, is in the present tense, which means to continually be on the alert as you continually pray. It's to be a way of life. It's to be our lifestyle. Constant communication with the head, our heavenly commander, Jesus Christ, because he's constantly ready there, willing to help us, to aid us, to protect us, to strengthen us, to give us the wisdom and direction we need in the midst of the battle. Okay, which leads us to the second thing about the power of prayer is it's not only for me, right? Now notice we're going to see how Paul says here now in these verses how this power of prayer is not just good for me and for my support. Believe it or not, just like an army, it's good for the rest of the soldiers as well, right? Let's take a look at this, Ephesians 6, 18 and through 20. And always keep on praying for who? Just yourself? No. For all the saints. That's all Christians. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. So Paul not only encourages us to pray with the power of prayer for ourselves, but for what? For our fellow soldiers, all the saints, for Paul himself, for, you know, church leadership, a church apostle at that time. Why? Because we're all in this together. And so therefore we need to, every able-bodied soldier on the front lines in this battle, and if we would all just communicate, not just for ourselves, but all of us praying for each other, man, we could make a serious dent in the enemy's territory. It's common sense, okay? And so is it any wonder that the enemy not only gets us to not pray, but when we do pray, it's only for ourselves, and we never pray for other believers, okay? We don't pray for each other. We basically spend most of our time, frankly, beating each other up. We don't pray for each other. We attack each other. We don't pray for each other. We don't lift each other up. We tear each other down. And folks, when are we going to wake up and realize that we're in this fight together, soldiers of Jesus Christ? We need each other. We need to be not having fighting among the ranks. We need to all fight together. We're not going to win a war if we fight each other, tear each other apart. We need to lift each other up. We need to pray for all the saints. Why? Because we need every soldier. Every soldier, healthy, whole, fighting in unison in this battle. And listen, when we pray for each other, people get healed, watch this, and they rejoin the battle. Hey, what a concept, right? You get your soldiers back, right? One guy says this. He says, in a recent missionary trip to Romania, I got sick and I had the highest fever I had ever had. I was literally delirious at times. And I was in a hotel. I was so sick. I remember laying there thinking, oh, God, please, I don't know what to do. He said, I was so sick. My fever was so high. Well, it was 1 a.m, and I remember God impressed on my heart, Wayne was the guy's name. While you were praying now, remember, it's 6 o'clock back at home. At 6:15, church services are going to start, and they're going to pray for you, Wayne. They're going to pray for you. Sure enough, between 6:15 and 6:18, that evening, my fever broke. It broke. During the night, I got better and better and better. And watch this. When I got home, I told that story to the congregation, and an associate pastor came to me and said, Wayne, that night in choir, we were trying to get ready to go upstairs. We were running late, and we couldn't leave because we felt so impressed to pray for your healing at exactly the same time your fever broke in Romania. He says, folks, we haven't even begun to tap in the power of prayer, certainly for each other. Another guy says this, what would happen if a church called on all of its members and began to intercede for each other and the whole church and their spiritual well-being according to the pattern of the Pauline prayers? What would happen if they all interceded in this manner, not just for a week, but for a month, for a year round as the Spirit leads? And dare I say, I hope that's what you're doing as the Remnant, praying for all of us as the Remnant around the world at Get a Life Church. Can you imagine if all of us prayed for each one every single day? And that's what he's saying. He says, I think here's what would happen. I think God's Spirit would move in families, in marriages, in teenagers, individuals, in a way described that it was so supernatural that it only could be the hand of God and he would get the glory. And I would agree, right? But what do? We beat each other up over goofball things because of this or that. You wear this thing, this secondary issue, and this. Folks, when are we going to realize that we need to intercede for our fellow soldiers in Jesus Christ? This is what Paul is saying. It's not just for us. Yes, you need to pray, 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 but pray for all the saints. We need to pray for each other, our fellow soldiers, be it their healing or wholeness or whatever, okay? We are to listen, be a spiritual infirmary, a holy hospital that's working together. Watch this. To get as many injured soldiers back on the battlefield. Why? So they can get back and join the fight and fight alongside of us. And again, so no wonder the enemy not only doesn't want us to pray, but he doesn't want us to always keep on praying for all the saints. Why? Because listen, he wants our supply of soldiers to be completely depleted so we will always be in a state that's being defeated. Do you get it? We need each other. We are to not only pray, but to pray for each other and each other's wholeness. We are to pray also for each other's boldness when it comes to sharing the gospel. That's the other thing that Paul is saying. Watch this. Why? Why do we pray? Listen, pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given to me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I declare it fearlessly as I should. The battle we're Christians is this, folks. It's not when we pray, oh, here's the battle. I better hurry up and pray. Pray for a bigger house. No. No, I need to pray for a better car. No. I need to pray for a bigger bank account. I need to pray to learn to be a better me. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's what the apostate church is teaching people to do. Paul says the battle we're in is a battle for souls. God gives us his armor for our protection. Why? So that we can get out there and win souls. Do you understand how Paul ends the armor of God? It's not just for us. It's not just for our protection. It's not just for us to stop the enemy's attacks. It's not just for us. It's not just for us as a church to pray and protect and to work together. The ultimate goal is why? We're in this battle to move forward, to march forward, what? To share the gospel to save souls. Do you understand what's going on? That's why we're given the armor. Not just to stand there and take it and survive. There's a purpose in the battle. The battle is to keep marching forward and share the gospel and save people. Get the gospel out fearlessly with boldness. And guess what? When you do pray together and when we're all out there and we're praying for each other, guess what? We do get boldness from God. He does empower us with that. And guess what? Every one of us in around the world as the remnant, as we do that, people get saved. And here's the point. They join God's army too. Can I tell you something? You just gain more soldiers. Think about that. When we are sharing the gospel in the midst of this battle and people get saved, we just gained another soldier. So we not only pray for each other so that we can have the maximum amount of soldiers on the front lines in the battlefield, but as we're living up to our purpose in this battle, we're acquiring soldiers, including those that we might even be tempted to think would never get saved. Like this lady, watch this.
Hopelessness and despair. These are the words that best describe the current situation in Iran. As a result, Iran has one of the highest suicide rates in the world. Hi, my name is Hormoz Shariat, and I'm the president of Iran Alive Ministries. What you're about to see is an actual story that happened here during a broadcast at Iran Alive. This is a story of a life transformed by the power of the gospel.
و حتی مثلا از سن 4-5 سالگی شروع کردم نماز رو یاد گرفتن و مثلا قبل از اینکه وارد مدرسه بشم سوره های قرآن رو حفظ میکردم دین هستن اینا خیلی شستشون مغزی ما رو میکردن و اگرم یه همچین چیزی میشنیدم خوشحال میشدم ولی همیشه به ما میگفتن حتی اگر یه مسیحی رو بکشیم وارد بهشت میشیم و برای همین بیشتر تلاش میکردم که قانونهای مذهب رو دقیق تر انجام بدم فکر میکردم وضوع اشتباه گرفتم دوباره هی میرفتم وضوع میگرفتم شاید این مثلا برای یه نماز 10 بار تکرار میشد که من میرفتم وضوع میگرفتم و برمیگشتم و مریضی روحی هم که گرفتم افسرده وحشتناکم بودم احساس کردم که هیچ وقت به خدا نرسیدم و مامانم تو حالت مرگ بود خیلی هم وابسته بودم به مامانم و گفتم که من خودم رو میکشم اگر اجازه ندید تو خونه این کار بکنم بیرون از خونه خود کشم
ولی تو جوانی تو آینده داری مامان جان
و گفتم باشه اگر دوست داری با هم خودکشی کنی
Brothers and sisters, I'm with you tonight. The Lord has a special message for you tonight. If you're hopeless, if you're oppressed, if you're planning to commit suicide, the Lord says stop. He has a hope and a future for you. If you're planning to kill yourself, stop and call me.
و برای نیم ساعت با کشورما صحبت کرد. کاری که کردم انجام میدم و اگر تو بخوای پشیمون بشی من خودم تنها این کار میکنم. وقتی که رفتم توی اتاق دیدم مامانم داره دعای تو برو میکنه و خیلی عصبانی شدم
به من ندیان نه
شوهش میکنم
نمیخوام با شرف بزنم بلان دیگه نمیخوام قطع کن بینم
چی داره
خدا فردینا
نمیخوام
لجبازی نکن
نمیخوام قطع کن رجالت بده هرمز مگه کیه بلان کن کشیش هرمز کیه
ولی شما گفتین اگه کسی
Oh, my God.
الو.
When I talked to her, she was cold.
بله من پرویزا هستم.
She was fighting. And she told me very proudly, I'm going to kill myself and your Jesus cannot do anything for me. After about an hour of argument with her, and I couldn't change her mind.
عیسی من به تو ایمان میارم.
You said it yourself. Allah has done nothing for you. Give Jesus just one chance. You can always kill yourself next week.
وقتی که این فکر اومد توی سرم گفتم این بهترین راهه که یه بار دیگه تا آخرین لحظه مرگم به الله خدمت کنم.
She was thinking, okay, I pray and next week this time Jesus had not done anything for me, I call live on the air and I tell everybody, look, I tried Jesus for a week and nothing has changed and I'm going to kill myself tonight and I would do it on the air.
و بعد از یک هفته که خودکشی میکنم حداقلش اینه که وقتی به حضور خدا میرم میگم آخرین کارم هم برای تو انجام دادم. فردا صبحش که از خواب بیدار شدم ساعت نیمه شب بود که از خواب بیدار شدم دیدم و دیدم که مامانم خیلی راحت داره تو خونه راه میره و دیگه اونطوری نیست که تعادل نداشته باشه یا دستشو جایی بگیره. گفتم ما باید سریع بریم بیمارستان و وقتی که جوابو سریع گرفتیم دکتر گفتش که فقط میتونم بگم یه معجزه شده چون هیچ اثری از بیماری ام اس نیست.
چه جوری میشه؟ شما خودتون گفتین که اینشون ترمینال
بوده. فقط
ایشون
خانم یه معجزه است و به یه امام دعا کردین. شما کجا نشون دادین؟ خانم این شب یک معجزه است. این یک معجزه است.
ما اصلا به هیچ امامی دعا نکردیم. به عیسی مسیح دعا کردیم.
Folks, that's not only amazing, but let me fill in the rest of the story for you. When she came here to America, she began helping out in that ministry that she was talking to on the phone that helps Iranian Christians to reach out to Iran. And she was doing a great work here in the United States. But she soon went back under the threat of persecution, rape, and even death. And you know why? Because she said this, quote, "Satan is singing lullabies to the American church." And dare I say, it's not just the American church, it's all over the place. And quote, she wanted to go back where the power of God was moving, where people were standing in the armor of God, where people pray for each other, where souls get saved by the thousands. And folks, that's what Paul is saying. The Christian life is not about you. It's about loving Jesus Christ. It's about loving other people. It's about reaching out to the lost, no matter who they are. And whether you realize it or not, when we work together as Christians, when we pray for each other, when we pray for each of us to go out there and share the gospel wherever we're at with boldness, we are taking people like Padina, listen, from the enemy's army, listen, and we're enlisting them into God's army. Do you get it? We are stealing his troops right from under his nose. No wonder he doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want us to work together. He doesn't want us to share the gospel. No wonder he doesn't want us to pray and stand in God's mighty power. No wonder he doesn't want us to put on the whole armor of God. He knows if we do, his days are numbered, and he's the one that's doomed because he's not going to have any army left. That's if we would just do what God says to do. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme and keep on praying for all the saints. Amen? Let's do that as the remnant. Let's be those last days warriors for Jesus Christ and get out there with the full armor of God. Stand firm. Enjoy God's victory. Save souls. Enlist them into God's army and do a great work for him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you for your word today. And just thank you for just this last weapon and how important it is and just how ironic many commentaries, they don't even include this one in your armor. And yet it totally makes sense. We got to pray. We got to be in connection with you. We got to communicate with you. We need your power to move forward. And we need to use that same communication to intercede for each other. We need to work together and work together to encourage one another and pray that all of us will get out there in the enemy's territory and steal his soldiers. That's what happens when we lead souls to you. Oh, what a great message, God. Thank you for your word. And so, God, if we are a Christian listening today, and we are living a prayerless life, no wonder we're getting whooped on. You need to get back to prayer. God, lead us to you. Give us a hunger for communication with you again. That's what prayer is. And who wouldn't want to talk to you? You're the creator of the universe. It still blows me away. But not only that, that we get outside of our selfish self-centeredness. That when we pray, it ain't just about us. It's about each other. And certainly even we at Get a Life Church, that we would take time every day to pray for our brothers and sisters, the remnant around the world at Get a Life Church. And that we would pray that each one of us would be faithful as your soldiers, wherever you got us planted around the world, and get out there and share the gospel. Oh God, if we would do that, what a change would happen around the world. So God, if that's the case, get us back on track today. And as always, God, maybe there's somebody tuning in. Maybe they're like Padina. They've never prayed that first prayer specifically to you, Jesus, and asking you to save them and forgive them. Hey, if that's you, do that now. No matter what you've done, Jesus Christ is willing to save you and forgive you. Call upon his name. Ask Jesus to save you, forgive you. The Bible says that God is holy that we are not. The wages of our sin is death. We deserve to die and receive God's punishment. But God sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And that if we place our faith in what he did, taking our punishment in our place, his death on the cross, if we place our faith in that, God will forgive us. The Bible says if you confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Do that today. Don't delay. Choose Jesus. Come to him today. But God, thank you for your word. Please bless it to these lives that belong to you. And we ask all this in your powerful name, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, hey, once again, I've done my part as your shepherd. I've given you the whole counsel of God. We've finished up a 10-week study. Who's counting? I am. A 10-week study on the armor of God. Had the pleasure of tearing apart Ephesians chapter 6. And again, stay tuned, Lord willing. Next time, we are going to begin a new journey in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, so pay attention to that. But hey, this week, let's get out there. I got you equipped. Now let's get out there, myself included, and let's do the work of ministry. That's why God invests time for us to get into his word. It's there to go bear much fruit. So get out there this week as the remnant, and let's get out there and share the gospel. Let's bring in more soldiers for Jesus Christ. Let's steal them from the enemy's camp. That's what we're doing. And hey, guess what? The good news is if you're out there and you lead souls to Christ this week, hopefully and prayerfully, then now you got a safe place for them to go. Come and be discipled at Get a Life Church. Or if you're out there and you see a fellow soldier all by themselves thinking that they're just destined to be by themselves, hey, now you can grab them, come together, the Remnant Church, Get a Life Church. We got a place to study together. So consider that as well. But let's get out there wherever we're at in the world. And let's work together and make a world of difference for Jesus Christ. Amen? Awesome. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. God bless. Lord willing, we'll see you next time. Revelation chapter 2. God bless. Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine X-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine X-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay? How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy, even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon. That God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. There's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it. And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.